Okay, I'm honored to bring the Word of God here this morning and to the faithful flock here. And we're going to continue in the book of Revelation. And we had been looking in just the past few weeks, first of all, about the sounding of the fifth trumpet, which God had done with about the first woe was with the locust, and how that was brought apart, these demons that transpired, that they came and caused havoc. And why did this happen? Because so that people would repent. God is a God of love, but He's also a God of judgment. And so what is the opposite of judgment? It's mercy. And we looked at that at Sunday school, when we should be treating our neighbor with mercy and not necessarily with judgment, and knowing that we can meet people's needs for where God has called us. Then also we looked at the sixth trumpet recently, the second woe, which was the great army found in Revelation chapter 9, verse 13. These came out of the pit. They were there by God to, again, cause judgment amongst people who did not repent. So it's about repentance. And today, if you have a sin that you're struggling with, remember, God forgives. Just confess it, bring it before the Lord, get it right, and move on. Because we're all sinners, right? Amen? By the grace of God, we are saved by grace through faith. And remember, sin can easily creep up into us, and it is a creepy thing, sin is, without us even realizing it. So we need to watch and pray, like that song says, that Jesus can wash my sins away. So remember, He won't remember your sins as far as the east, from the west, from the north, to the south. It's all under the blood of the cross. So moving on here. You know, I titled this, When God Breaks His Silence. We're going to look at the little book. And expositors believe this is like a scroll, as it were. We're like with the seals. And then, of course, you know, that is the size of what this little book is. But we'll look at that in a minute. And, of course, we've already been through the seal judgments. And then we're going through the trumpet judgments, and we're about a little over halfway through the tribulation period. But saving all that information about the timeline is when we get into talking about the Antichrist and that disgusting system that's already here. It's just a matter with its manipulation that it's doing with our technology and so on and so forth. It's creeping in. It's another creepy thing that's coming. It's already here in society. It hasn't controlled everything yet. So that's all it's about, is control and manipulation, and have a dominant one-world leader. We'll get into all that and the facts about the non-fiction, not the fiction, but the non-fiction reality of what the Word of God has to say. So looking here, and before we get in chapter 10, remember, people still didn't repent after all this had happened. And I think, what does it take, Lord? Like that song says, how long, like Michael Card said in his song about that. Are you going to continue to cry out to people? The prophet cries out, repent, repent. And people are like, oh, that's nice. That's for somebody who needs it. We all need it. Don't deceive ourselves, you know. Chapter 10 says this, and I saw, now this is John, he's in heaven, and he's writing this down as it's being interpreted by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says here, and I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven. This is not Jesus Christ, okay? This is not another coming of Jesus Christ. Because if you look in the following verses, it looks like this is Jesus. But remember, Satan also can look like an angel of light and look good. As we draw closer to the end times, we're here already, and the church age, that it's going to become more intense, more deceptive, and I think there's going to be even more falling away. Okay? And remember to check yourselves with the Word of God and His Spirit, and pray and pray and pray. So, and there are other reasons why this is not Jesus Christ, but this is a great angel, because Christ is mentioned in the book of Revelation as being a faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, but there is no title given this angel. Also, if he was the pre-incarnate Christ, the angel of the Lord, would it be a capital A? Would be that angel of the Lord. That was in the Old Testament when Christ would become as the pre-incarnate. There are other areas here as well, but this, I still saw another mighty angel has the idea of another of the same kind of angel. So this is not Jesus Christ. Just saying that for the record. Because cults can use this. People who misinterpret the Word of God can use this and cause all kinds of havoc. It's usually the little things in life, at least in my life, I know that trip me right up. I'll fall flat on my face. Don't even see it. Don't even see it coming because I'm not watching and praying. And sometimes God allows these things to happen for us to grow up in Him. And the little things in life, because you can see the big picture, but the little pictures are tough to look at. So I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven. If you're keeping an outline, we see that an unusual angel here in verses 1 and 2 says here that came down from heaven clothed with a white cloud. It has the idea it's associated with an appearance of someone from heaven. You know, like when Jesus comes down and then when he ascended. Remember that in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he ascended up into heaven and the angel said he's coming back in like manner. So, someone from heaven. And a rainbow was given on his head. And these are symbols here. Represents God's covenant mercy. Remember the Noah's covenant that God had him with a rainbow. I will never allow this to happen again. This terrible flood that happened. Why? Because God had to judge the earth because it was full of violence. Men's thoughts were only wicked. And God was like, enough is enough. And Satan was trying to usurp God's authority. Remember in Genesis 3:15, from that seed passing through. Well, it passed through Adam and Eve, through God making his promise there, on up to the birth of Christ. And then we see there is a face like a sun. It means the brilliant, radiant glory. This angel got his glory from what? From the Lord, being in the presence of the Shekinah, the glory of the Lord, like Moses when he was on Mount Sinai. Okay? That presence. Again, this is not Jesus Christ. And then feet like pillars of fire. We saw that in Revelation chapter 1. Jesus did have like pillars of fire, and they're representative of judgment. Again, God is a loving God. And I go out and I witness to people. Some of them are just angry at God. Some of them are angry at me because I'm talk about Jesus, and they'd rather talk about their Christian religion. They get very offended. So I'm just like, okay, Lord, plant the seed. You do the watering, right? And God will give the increase, right? And the prayers of the saints go marching on. Okay? And then we see here in verse 2, he had a little book open in his hand. And that has the idea of a small scroll. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1, and I saw in his right hand of him, that's the Father who sat on the throne, written inside and on the back, sealed with the seven seals. So that was a picture, that scroll given to Jesus Christ. He was the one that was able to pronounce. He was taking the what was known as, like, if you own a property or something, you had the deed. Jesus had the deed to planet Earth. He overcame. He was conqueror of conquerors. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Thank God for that, right? What would it be like with an earth that had no Redeemer? Thank God we have someone who is a Savior, our personal friend, our love. So you have here that it was in a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. This is symbolic of position of authority and power. In other words, the angel is proclaiming here to John, look, God is omnipotent. He knows. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. And everything, this land, this sea, everything that we have, from sea to shining sea. We looked at this yesterday with one of the songs that they were singing at Grace Notes. God bless America, land that I love. And we went through that. And it was brings tears to your eyes. If you know, so what if you're patriotic? You know what? I was very thankful for our country. But we're losing it slowly by slow. We need to pray. Like I used the example of New York City. What happened? 9/11. What happened now? Look what's, you know, because there's a spiritual vacuum. So God owns everything. He owns you and I. He owns everything that we can see, hear, taste, or smell, you know. So he's already taken possession. And Satan is allowed to have a short time as it is to do what he does for God's plan of the ages. Remember, God loves us. God for so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So we see that there were the acts. Second of late, first we see the angel, then the acts, verses 2 and 3. It says here that when he cried out with a loud voice, and when as a lion roars. So we're looking here, you know, at God's power. If you ever heard of a roaring lion, it says here in the Old Testament, Jeremiah 25:30 says, therefore you shall prophesy against them all these words, and you shall say to them, the Lord will roar from on high and utter his voice from his holy habitation, and he will roar mightily against his fold, and he will shout like those who tread grapes, and against the habitations of the earth. The power and the majesty of Christ, I can't even begin to describe the fear of the Lord. Look, we talked about that in Sunday school. You have perfect love casted out the enemy's fear. It's like helping somebody who's in need. If you think that there's some sort of fear, something wrong, don't do it. Okay? But if you feel that you can meet that person's need, then you have that perfect peace. Okay, that passes all understanding. You can help that person. Okay? God will give you loving discernment. And then we see also that in verse 4, there's that answer, verse 4. And when he cries out, the seven thunders will utter their voices. And the seven thunders uttered their voices. Repeats it. It signifies the judgment of God coming, okay? It's for preparation. When a storm comes along, and we've had some really bad storms this past month because it's right around, you know, tornado season or whatever, there was a warning that thunder, take cover, you know, find that shelter in a time of storm, okay, that cleft of that rock, you know, for a weary traveler can hide, can get some protection. People need the Lord today. God is known as a God of thunder. Exodus 9:23, Moses stretched out his staff toward the sky, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire ran down to the earth, and the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. You know, it's very important that we take God seriously for who He is. So many people are deceived today. They think everything's just fine. Look at all that's going on. You know, everything's at peace. But God has an answer here, and His answer is coming. Verse 4, it says, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which are the seven thunders uttered, and do not write them. And I'm reminded of how Paul was when he was caught up in the third heaven. And he heard voices spoken, and he saw things too beautiful for him to write down. They are known as the mysteries of God. There are two ways of looking at this with God. One, He will reveal to you what He wants to reveal to you. Or two, there are things that He won't reveal to you because the time is not. Like it was with Daniel. Daniel was writing down God's prophecy, and God said, seal the book up in Daniel chapter 12. The time is not ready for it yet. I am so glad that I don't know what tomorrow holds, because I fear that I would get things all wrong. And I think I do write down my plans for the day, for the week, for the month, for the summer. But yet I have to leave room for what God's doing. And God will give us wisdom, and He'll show us where He wants to walk and talk with Him every day. I hope that's been an encouragement for all of us this past week. I don't know what you've all been through, but I'm sure you've gone through the thunder. You've gone through the trials. And yet God has brought you out with sunshine and peace, with His smile on His face, looking at you and saying, well done, thy faithful servant. You know, continue to be faithful. Don't give up. Pray. You know, saw somebody the other day. It looked just like Mary. Just like Mary. I'm not kidding you. And I looked at Kimberly and I said, she goes, you know what that means? You need to pray for Mary. So that's just the way it goes. And I've seen certain faces pop up, and I'm like, oh, I'm not losing my mind, mind you. But, you know, it's a good way to remember people in prayer, because we don't always know how to pray when we ought to. So the Holy Spirit makes intercession to speak to us. Verse 5 says this, and then the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and the land raised up his right hand to heaven, and John saw a vision there. A lot of expositors believe that many years ago, when you put your hand on the Bible and said, raise your right hand, you take an oath. Well, this is what the angel was doing. Pray for our court system, too. I'm not going to even talk about that. But that's what happens in the courtroom when you throw God out of the system. Don't let it confuse you, because the author of confusion, you know who that is. Okay, it's very simple. Stay in the truth. Walk in the truth and be blessed in the truth. It says here in verse 6, and swore by him who lives forever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, and the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea that are in it, they should delay no longer. So that is God's omnipotence. God created the heavens, the earth, and the seas. He even created us too. Psalms 139, we are uniquely and wonderfully made. And I think about how we came to be, and I'm just amazed every time I see you all, how God is working in you. You know, they say the eyes are the gateway to the soul. It's the apple of your eye. I can, you know, I don't have some miraculous vision or whatever, but I know this. I see and I believe what I see, and I walk by faith. And not by sight, but I hear and see, and I see, you know what? These people are walking with you, Lord. That's good enough for me. I'm going to keep an eye on them because I want to be that under shepherd. I want to take care of them. Lord, if they need any help anytime, I'm here for them. I'm praying for them. You know, let God, you're the shepherd, Lord. You take care of them. So in verse 7 says, "But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants and the prophets." This is an encouragement. All things must come to an end, a good end, with the mystery of God. Romans 16, 25 and 26 says, "Now to him is able to establish you according to my gospel, by the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of mystery, which has been kept secret for long ages past, but now is manifested by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, has been made known to all the nations, leading to the obedience by" what? Faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Last night again, sitting there at Grace Notes, heard all these wonderful songs, and the orchestra did a wonderful job. And you know, you've been at orchestras before, and yet I felt their hearts were really into it. And they even shared the gospel too, which I thought was great. All right? So God chose his ways in many different ways. It's an unknown revelation in its own time. We have different kinds of mysteries in the Bible. You have the mystery of lawlessness. We see that happening now. Like it says in 2 Timothy, men will be lovers of themselves, despising parents, and so on and so forth. We're seeing an increase of this in the last days. Don't be surprised about it. These things have to come to pass. And also about the mystery of the church. Thank God for that. The Old Testament, they had no idea what that mystery was. When God revealed it in time, it was what? The church in Ephesians chapter 4. Paul wrote about it. And so we're all part of that. And then, of course, the mystery of the rapture. We don't want to forget that either. And we're looking forward to that. We had men's prayer breakfast the other day, and the first thing this guy comes in and says, "You know what? I'm surprised the Lord hasn't come back with the things that are going on in the world today." And I said, "Yeah, all in his good time. But I'm thinking about, what about those people that need to get saved before the Lord comes back? You know, what about one another? We need to encourage one another." Okay? We need to keep our eyes on the Lord. It says in Deuteronomy 29:29, "The secret things of the things belong to the Lord our God." And, you know, those are the things that God is not going to reveal, like those seven thunders. You know, God said, "Do not write down what has been thundered here, okay, or what has been said," because God can speak through thunder. God can speak in a still, quiet, small voice. I like it that way better. You know, and I can walk and talk with him and hold his hand throughout the day, and he tells me, "I want you to go here." "Nope, I don't want you to go over here. You had that plan. Now I'm changing the plan." We need to be constantly checking out God's power. "But the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever. They may deserve all the words of the law." So we have that in itself, okay? So when God breaks his silence, how does he speak to us? Well, I'm just going to give you a quick summary here, and I'm going to continue in verses 8 through 11 through a visual. You know, we can walk down the street, and God may allow a tree to fall down. I'm just giving you an idea here. And he wants us to what? Get out of the way. The other day, I was walking around over here at church property. A bunch of Canadian geese land. They walk right beside me. And one tries to attack me for some reason. I don't know. Well, you know what that told me? God was using those birds, saying, "Hey, respect the birds, respect people." You know, got that through audio in verse 3, through words. Your words are a blessing to one another. What you say about somebody else will be a blessing. What you say in secret will be a blessing, because you can't hide anything from God. And with such a blessing, yesterday, the Lord blessed my heart because of that, again, at Grace Notes there. I keep on bringing this up as another illustration. But there are people who I witnessed to around the community, and guess what? They were there at that church. I guess God has called me to witness to get people in church. I want them to come here. I'm like, "Come on, Lord. It was about five or six different people. I'm like, wow. I just sat there and I ate my popcorn. I was just sitting there taking a time out. My goodness. I was like, Lord, you work in mysterious ways. I don't get it. You know, God sometimes has a different plan for us, but you know what? He looks at the heart. He knows it's gold. He knows he wants us to do what our saints have been praying about. And you all have golden hearts here today. You really do. And you're precious in his sight. Then through writing, seen in verse 4, and God can write down his word too, but also things are written that people say on the news. And God's in control of that too, even though how distorted and perverted as it can get, God's in control of that too. And God, I was talking to one missionary this past week, and we were sharing our stories, and he's saying, you know, I've seen God just write out checks where there was no money at all. God provided the least person you expect. And we sat there like two drunken sailors laughing about, because we understood. We were filled with the Spirit. He says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. We can rejoice in the Lord. And then, of course, through creation, through God, how he breaks his silence, God does that as well, because he'll speak to us. We seek him. This week, I've had to sing a lot of hymns. I have a hymn book at home, because for some reason, I needed those hymns to sing to. And if you see me sitting in the car talking to myself, you'll understand why. You know. So, and then, of course, verse 7, through mysteries, God is a mysterious God, isn't he? He speaks to us through things that we don't understand. You know, we don't get it sometimes. But God knows what he's doing. And be careful about that too. Don't let some preacher tell you that God works through all kinds of weird mysteries. Be careful. Use some common sense, knowing that God does it in love, but he doesn't go outside his word. Yes, we can think outside the box, right? And we can do things because we are letting God work through us, and it does not condemn us. Our conscience does not condemn us. So John Eastman's a little book. This is interesting. Verses 8 through 12. Then a voice which I heard from heaven, that's the Lord, spoke to me again, says, go take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. Obviously, the Lord hasn't come back in a special coming. And be careful about people who said, oh, I've had visions of God, and God spoke to me, and so on and so forth. Be careful. Okay, I realize God can do what he wants to do, but a lot of times Satan is the counterfeiter too. So check the spirits and see if it's not of God, because there are a lot of antichrist spirits. So go take the little book which is open in his hand, the angels who stands on the sea and on the earth. So I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book, which is a little scroll, which you interpret it in the dual word study. And he said to me, take and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, and I will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. So what God is saying, this is wonderful. The word of God is like food to our souls. It's like milk and honey. It's wonderful. It satisfies, doesn't it? Okay? But then the bitter end is the bad things that come up, things that are not particularly we care about, because it's unsettling. It's the evil comes out, and so on and so forth. I'm very thankful that we have a realistic God, not a God that just rationalizes everything away to the point where you're just like, you know what? I guess, whatever you say, Lord. No. God is realistic, and he's saying, look, judgment is going to come. There's going to be a time also of peace and joy and God's wonderful love. So then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. And when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations and tongues and kings. It's interesting because Ezekiel went through this as well. Look, God's going to judge the nations of this world. This is where John is getting at this. Ezekiel, the exact same thing happened to him with the nation of Israel. In Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 7 says, "You shall speak my words to them," God saying to Ezekiel, "hear whether they refuse, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like the rebellious house of Israel. Open your mouth and eat what I give you." So Ezekiel ate the word. "And when I looked, there was a hand stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll, a book was in it, and he spread it before me, and there was writing on the inside and the outside." Sounds like in the book of Revelation, chapter 5. "And written on it were lamentations and mournings and woe. Moreover, he said to me, 'Son of man, eat what you find, eat of the scroll, go speak to the house of Israel.' So I opened my mouth and caused me to eat of the scroll, and he said to me, 'Son of man, feed your belly and fill your stomach with the scroll that I give you.' So I ate it, and it went in my mouth was like honey and sweetness." So with Ezekiel's time as well and John's time, there was a prophecy to be fulfilled. Was it fulfilled yet? Let me encourage you today. God's prophecies will come true. And both were told to eat. And one was sweet and one was bitter. And then, of course, we see how God works in our life sometimes. Sometimes His word is sweet to read, but other times it's bitter because we don't like what we hear. So we see that God breaks His silence through the proclamation and evangelism. God wants us to do that. And let me tell you about mothers today. I haven't forgotten about mothers just leading up to it. Always, one person said, you lead the best for last, right? And mothers are first. I'm very thankful for that. I'm very thankful that there are the mothers who give us, as we were growing up, and this goes for grandmothers and as well as great-grandmothers. You know, you have the attitudes that we need to have as people. And these are some saying here. You might have heard of these before. But remember, it's all about that attitude that we have towards people and mothers. I put mothers here especially. 4 years of age, my mommy can do anything. Remember that growing up? You know, mom was like the best. 8 years of age, my mom knows a whole lot. She knows everything. 12 years of age, my mother doesn't really quite know everything. Because, you know, you're getting older, you think you're better. You know, you've been around longer. 14 years of age, naturally, mother doesn't know that either, you say. Well, I thought she's not all-knowing. Well, she didn't know everything. 16 years of age, mother, she's hopelessly old-fashioned. She's getting older. That's the tragedy today. A lot of people need the wealth of information and the wisdom that mothers have. Encourage you, mothers. 18 years of age, that old woman, and I'm saying that respectively, she's way out of date. She's behind the time. I'm looking at the times now. I'm like, oh, no. I'd like to go back maybe 80 years ago or whatever. Probably things were a lot more simpler or whatever. No, I think we're coming into more problems. 25 years of age, well, she might know a little bit about it. And slowly now they're starting to enlighten, illuminate their minds. They're starting to realize 35 years of age before we decide, let's get mom's opinion. And then they know that the sun is starting to set in their lives. And they're like, oh my goodness, we better go ask mom before it's too late. And sometimes it is. 45 years. And let me encourage you, please never stop praying for your children. Keep praying for them. Regardless, because by the grace of God, sir, you and I, 45 years of age. I wonder what mom would have thought about it. What a tragedy that is. And if you thought about mom and really cared about her, you would remember the good things and not the bad things, because we're not all perfect. We don't all have little angel wings on our backs, you know. 65 years of age, I wish I could talk it over with mom, regrettably. But yet, if you remember some of the lessons here about mom, I'm finishing this up here. Number one, mom taught me logic. Because she got her morals, what, from the Word of God, right? Just like the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, are all biblically mandated. If you fall out of the swing and break your neck, you're not going to the store with me. Well, she's saying, look, you're not going to use the good mind the Lord gave you. Stop doing that. You won't hurt yourself. Another one is, my mother taught me irony. Keep crying, I'll give you something to cry about. In other words, stop whining about it. Look, I look at all the things that my mom had been through, and I'm like, oh, I had nothing to compare it to. Or even my wife as a mother, as you know all mothers, right? You know them. My mother taught me about the signs of mimosis. Close your mouth and eat your supper. In other words, keep good manners, okay? There's a little book called Ethics, Mannerisms and Ethics. It's a great book. It's no longer in print. But it shows you where to put all the forks and knives and how to line everything up. Looks like you're worth $1 million, right? So keep that. She taught me that. My mother taught me about stamina. You'll sit there until all the spinach is gone. Eat the right foods. There's a lot of stuff filled with sugar and salt. I'm just saying this because it's the little things that can destroy us if we're not careful, even as children, remember. My mother taught me about the weather. This room, Beerus, looks like a tornado that went, but that you went through it. Lord has taught us to organize things, to keep things in order, not to be a control freak, like the kids say. But make sure you know where everything is. And I know we're all working on that. Even as we get older, we might put things out of place. And we're like, I know I put it here the other day and I forgot. That's different. My mother, a couple more. My mother taught me about anticipation. Just wait until your father gets home. Well, you better, as my mother would say, you better put your belt on tight, because when you get home, your father's going to use that on you if you're not. And somebody who's listening to this online say, oh, child abuse, oh, you know. No, it wasn't back that in the day. It put that godly fear into you. So you started dancing before you got, you know, a good whipping. But I'll never forget those, because that taught me to live right. And he was trying to teach me, stop my foolish, childish ways. Like Paul says to Timothy, hey, you need to put those young things that you did behind you and press on to adulthood and grow up. Then my mother taught me religion, the last one, about prayer. You better pray that will come out of the carpet. Yeah, you know, you reap what you sow. You have what you're going to get. And even if we don't get in trouble, if we stay out of trouble, we still need to pray. And so I'm hoping that this can encourage you to remember a reminder about mothers, how important they were, because my daddy was hardly ever home. It's not a sob story. My dad had to work. Very thankful for my dad. I saw him maybe twice a week, and that was it. But he was a good provider. But my mother was always at home with us. She wasn't perfect. But you know what? I'm very thankful that she was there. I had a roof over my head. I had 3 square meals. I had clothes on my back. I can't complain, you know. Mothers always are creative. And, of course, there are the mothers that aren't, too. I got that. And nobody's going to blame somebody. You have your own choice, right? You make choices like Adam and Eve made their own choices in the Garden of Eden. Somebody says, well, why did that happen? You know, I said, well, aren't you thankful that God understands? God is a God who understands when we make choices. I pray this week, people, this is a busy time of year. The drivers are getting crazy out there. And I'm just praying that you stay safe and you stay protected. And, you know, when you think about what the Lord's doing this special day for mothers, and we have something special for you as you're going out here this morning, be thankful. Think about, and I'll close with this, think of all the good things that mom has done. Don't dwell on the negative things. That only bring you down. Think about the good things all the time and the mistakes that they made, that you may not do them and be doing the same thing, because Satan is not going to give up on you. So I'm done speaking, and let's close in prayer, and then we're going to have a song here and ladies here. Lord, we just pray special prayer for mothers and bless them. We thank you for John penning faithfully what he did, John the Beloved. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're coming back, and we give you all the praise. And if you're here online right now, you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, the invitation is always there. You can repent and be forgiven of your sins and accept Jesus Christ by faith this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.